message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garland.
Ability, and God made it so, amen, that we are able to make some choices. I've come by to tell you that if you really want to do more than what nature has ascribed for you to do, if you really want to reach further than your nurturing has enabled you to reach, amen, then you've got to develop some nerve. You better get you some nerve, amen. You've got to have enough nerve to be able to say that I'm going further than anybody in my family has ever gone. You got to develop some nerve, amen, amen. You've got to develop some nerve to be able to say I'm going higher than anyone who has had anything to do with my development and upbringing. As a matter of fact, you have to have the nerve to say that as blessed as I was last year, I've got the nerve to believe that this year is going to be better. This year is going to be greater. And maybe you started this year out bad, but I hope you haven't given up. I hope you haven't thrown in the towel. I hope you have enough nerve to trust and believe that the same God that woke you up this morning is able to turn things around. Is there anybody here who's walked with God long enough to know that he is able, no matter how it looks, amen, he's able to turn it around? You've got to have the nerve to say that in spite of the fact that I don't have a degree, in spite of the fact that I don't have a husband or a wife, I'm still going to accomplish and achieve what God has for my life. You've got to have the nerve to say that there's something greater in me than the stuff that's going on around me. The prophet Elisha in our text, we don't know who his parents are. So we can conclude from that he's not born into privilege. He's not born into royalty. We can conclude that he's not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. They never referred to him as the son of so-and-so. We don't have any information about his financial background, so it's easy to conclude that he was not of a high financial status. He could not even afford to get into the college of the bishops or the college of the prophets. But not only that, it appears that he did not have the spiritual background necessary to elevate him to the calling of a prophet. So we look at it. This strange man who appears to come from a strange place with no resume and no pedigree to brag or boast about, but yet he shows up on the pages of Holy Writ. He shows up on the pages of antiquity. Not only is his nature questionable, his nurture is in dispute. Amen. Because there's no record of him having any real friends. His nurture is in dispute because nowhere do we find that he grew up in the best environment. Amen, amen, amen. Nowhere do we find that he was able to travel. Nowhere do we find that he was exposed to the finer things in life. So there is this mystery surrounding him. We know nothing of his nature. We know nothing of his nurture. But tell your neighbor, we do know brother has some nerve. He had some nerve. Amen. Not only did he have nerve, but he also had good taste. Sort of like Pastor Garner. Amen. He didn't aspire to be like those at the bottom. He wanted to be like the folk at the top. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I want the anointing. I want the power. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost. See, some of y'all are praying prayers, amen, for material stuff, and you're begging God to bless you with clothes and cash and all. But this man of God said, I've got the nerve, amen, to trust and believe that if I get God in my life, if I get the anointing of the Holy Ghost on my life, if I get the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, y'all excuse me, let me borrow something from Leroy Thompson right here. Leroy Thompson says, money cometh. Is there anybody here who knows that if you walk with God and if you have God's favor on your life, you ain't got to worry about where the money is. You ain't got to worry about possessions and things. God will make a way. Give him praise if you believe it. He had the nerve to say that if nobody in my family wants it, then I'll be the only one in my family with it. If I've got to go by myself, he had nerve enough to want something that he wasn't even qualified to get. He did not graduate from the seminary. He did not have a master's or a PhD degree. He wasn't listed in who's who, but he said, I want a double portion of the anointing that is upon the man of God. He had nerve, and I believe that there's some folk in this room, in this house this morning, who didn't grow up in the right kind of family, who didn't have the privilege to go to college. There are some people who are sitting here this morning who can say that they have some nerve because they are not going to stop until they can get a double portion. They're not going to stop until they get what God has in store for them. But I've come by to tell you this morning that whatever it is that you have nerve enough to believe God for, tell your neighbor you need to expect some opposition. Somebody already knows what I'm talking about. Amen. I just found your address. I just showed up on your street. Amen. Amen. Because as surely as you develop the nerve to believe God, amen, for what he has for you, you can expect the enemy to show up. And is there anybody here who knows the enemy ain't just the devil? Is not, amen, just that fella with the horns and the long tail? Amen. As a matter of fact, some of your best haters are in your house. Ooh. Some of your best haters are in your church house. Y'all don't want to say nothing. Amen. When he makes up his mind that he wants the double portion, the one he looked up to, the one who mentored him. And I want you to get ready, my brothers and sisters, because if you're getting close to your anointing, if you're getting close to your destiny, people that used to be close to you, amen, will want to stay, amen, away from you. People, amen, that you used to be close to, amen, will say stuff like, you don't need that. What you want all of that for? You ought to be satisfied with where you are and with what you've got. Amen. But I don't know about y'all, but it's something about having God in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the. It's something about this God that lives on the inside that makes me believe ordinary just won't do. Is there anybody here that has found out that with God walking with you and talking with you, there are some things I don't have to settle for? There are some attitudes I don't have to put up with. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm talking about people who can never look at you and see greater for your life. People who can never look at you and see the potential in your life. People who can never look at you and see the positive in your life. You know the folk, amen, all they can see in your life is minus signs. Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of living on the negative side of life. I'm tired of, amen, minor signs showing up in my life. I'm just foolish enough to believe that the God who laid the foundation of the universe, the God who spoke mountains into existence and valleys into existence, the God that put stars in their silvery sprockets, the God that planted green grass and put the wet in water, I'm foolish enough to believe that if I've got faith enough to believe it, if I trust him, I can receive it. Every time Elisha attempted to be elevated to the office of the prophet, the naysayers would come along and say, you're not qualified. But he knew what to tell them. I said he knew what to tell them. Now, I know some of you are Emily Post folk, and you'll say that's not proper, amen. But the man of God knew how to tell some folk, you just need to shut up. I know it was popular years back with women especially. If they didn't want to hear what you say, they just throw up that hand. Y'all remember that? Amen. Talk to the hand. In other words, my ears can't receive what you're trying to tell. My spirit cannot receive that negative stuff you're trying to plant in my spirit. Is there anybody here who's learned to walk by faith and not by sight? I've come by today to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when the prognosticators and the naysayers and the negative people who don't want to see you achieve, don't want to see you accomplish, when they start telling you that you can't, you need to tell them like Elisha said, hush up, because I'm going to the next level. I said, I'm going to the next level. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Do you know part of y'all's problem why you can't ever get to the next level? You can't envision it. Amen. If you start seeing that next level in your spirit, amen, amen. Oh, I know I got some witnesses here. If you can imagine it, if you can believe it, then by faith you can achieve it. Nudge your neighbor and say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to the next level. I'm going. There are some of you in this room this morning, as you look back over your life, you bought into what people were telling you. They were telling you you're not worthy of the blessings of God. They were telling you that your life wasn't worthy of the blessings that God has for you. But you woke up this Sunday morning with enough nerve to come into this house. And after hearing this message, I hope you develop the nerve to stand flat-footed, look the devil in the face, look your haters in the face, look your enemies in the face, and tell them, if God says it's mine, it is mine. If it's the last thing I do, I will be walking in my double portion. Before I close my eyes, I want to get the double portion. Tell your neighbor, you better get the nerve, get the nerve, get the nerve. Reminds me of T.D. Jakes. He'd say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm going to be T.D. Jakes right through here and tell somebody in this place, amen, get ready, get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to take you to another level. God is getting ready to promote you on your job. Get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to drop a financial blessing in your bank account. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You ought to get ready. T.D. Jakes, I have been mistaken for him a time or two. Folk who grew up with me and know me know that I didn't dance and I didn't go to parties and, you know, I was a square, a nerd, whatever you want to call it. But after I got grown and I was living in Dallas one Sunday after church that evening, amen, I said, I want to see what a club is like. And I didn't have any club friends, so Sister Everhart, nobody told me that club attire is a little different from church attire. And I had on my black suit, and I knew I was looking good. And when I walked in the club, Pastor Griffin, amen, the DJ must have been a gremlinite, because as soon as I walked in the door, he got on the mic and said, get ready, get ready, get ready. But you better get the nerve to make it to your next level. Now, if you're going to fight the fight for the double portion, 3 points and I'm gone. The first thing you have to do, you have to learn how to pursue it. The Bible says to us in 2 Kings chapter 2 that the first place that they had to go was a place called Bethel. Bethel. And you Bible readers know that Bethel, amen, is synonymous with the house of God. He said, if you want the double portion, you cannot get the double portion without going to Bethel. Bethel actually means the house of prayer. And I want you to understand that if you want a double portion, the first thing you have to do, you got to do it. You got to, if you don't know how to do it, you need to learn how to do it. If you're going to get the blessings that God has for you, if you're going to get better, if you're going to get the double portion, you've got to learn how to pray. Some of us will never get it because we're too stuck up and arrogant to fall on our face before God, call out his name. But there are some of us who are so desperate to get our double portion, amen, amen, that we know how to grab hold of the horns of the altar and call on the name of God. Is there anybody here who's not ashamed of having a prayer life? If you know know how to talk to God, I want you to declare right now to him, Lord, I want my double portion. Amen, amen. So the Bible says that if you're going to get it, not only must you pray, but secondly, you've got to pray, watch this, without ceasing. Now, this ain't for everybody. Some of you don't feel like praying. You're too sleepy to pray, too tired to pray. Can I be truthful? Too lazy to pray. But let me tell you something. You aren't going to get a double portion with that spirit. But for those who are hungry and desperate, and you don't mind calling out to God for 30 seconds, just cry it out. I want it. Lord, I want it. I want my double portion. I want a double portion. But then the text says in verse 4 that after he left Bethel, he was on his way to Jericho, and Elijah sent word to Elisha to just stay where he was. He said, I'm going to Jericho. But Elisha said to Elijah, I can't stay here because you act like I don't know what Jericho is. My brothers and sisters, Jericho is interpreted sweet fragrance. And the Bible says that praise is a sweet-smelling fragrance in the nostrils of God. So if you want a double portion from God, not only must you pray, but you better learn how to praise. See, I figured it out in my own life that, amen, there are some battles that we're confronted with that, amen, praying is good and we ought to pray, but some stuff you can't necessarily pray your way through. You better learn how to praise your way through. Do you know what makes the enemy happy? Do you know what makes, amen, your haters on your job happy? That it makes them happy when you come in on the job and depression is written all over your face. Sadness is all in your spirit. Amen. Amen. It just blesses haters and enemies when they can look at you and tell you're having a bad day or a bad week. And I made up my mind a long time ago that I would not give my haters the joy nor the satisfaction, so that even when I'm going through tough times, I've learned how to praise my way through. Amen. Even when the devil is on my trail, when my enemies are after me, when my bills are this high and my money is this high, I've learned how to still put a smile on my face and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If you're going to get your double portion, not only must you pray, but you better learn how to praise. Now, it would be easy to get the double portion if all you had to do was pray and praise. All of us would have the double portion. But after they left Jericho, they had to go through Jordan. And Jordan is a passageway. Jordan is a passageway to get from one place to another. And I want you to understand that in order for you to get the double portion, you've got to go through something. I know this may not be what you wanted to hear. Amen. You were all right with me when I said you could pray and you could praise. Amen. But God told me to remind somebody here today that your path to your double portion, yes, it involves prayer. Yes, it involves praise. But if you're going to be blessed on the other side, God is going to make sure you go through some stuff. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Amen, 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 amen. I've had to go through some stuff, but my brothers and sisters, I thank God that on my way to my double portion, because God said that if I can get through this madness, if I can just get through this frustration, if I can get through this disappointment, when I get to the other side, there ain't nothing I won't be able to handle. I've shared this with our Bible study crowd, this report from psychologists. They have studied plane crash survivors. And they've compared folk who have survived a plane crash to people who've never experienced anything nearly as devastating. And what psychologists have discovered is that people who have survived airplane crashes live the rest of their lives with far less anxiety, far less depression, far less stress after their ordeals than people who've never been in an airplane crash. Anybody here been in an airplane crash? Okay, all right. And they concluded that one of the reasons why this is because people who survive these traumatic events develop on the other side of them a perspective, a way of looking at life that makes them see and experience stress differently, better than everyone else. Plane crash survivors. Compare what they are facing now with what they've already been through. And they conclude that nothing can compare to the helplessness they felt as the plane was spiraling downward. When their future was uncertain and death was seemingly imminent, and that's what the psalmist seems to suggest. I shared that interesting fact with you today to say, amen, with what you have already survived, whatever you're going through right now, some of you who are in here today ought never be afraid of what the future holds because of how God has already dealt with you in the past. Amen. Many of us ought to never even be able to be frightened by much. We ought to never let depression grip and grab us for too long because we've already been through too much by now to be afraid of life's pressure at this point. You've already survived too much. Your back has been up against the wall too many times before. You've already survived worse stuff than what you're presently going through right now, so you ought not tremble when pressure or problems show up. You ought to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I used to think it, but now I know. I said I used to consider it, but now I know. I used to ponder it, but now I know that the Lord is with me. Y'all, the Lord has already brought me through too much. When I was down, he lifted me. When I was out, he let me in. When I was lost, he found me. When I was struggling, he gave me strength. When I was sick, he healed my body. When I was acting silly, he kept me. When I was trying to live right, he sustained me. When I was dumb and doing the wrong thing, he kept me. And can I tell, amen, and I can tell that some of you don't even know you've been kept. He's been keeping you. You've been thinking you've been rolling because you're so smart and you've been making it because you know the right people. But is there anybody here today who can look back over your life and think about how he kept you, how he lifted you, how he gave you joy in the place of sorrow? And now you know that if he could keep me through that, he can keep me through this. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm going to make it. 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 Stand on your feet, everybody. Give God some praise. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Now, if I could be honest with you, that message was for me. And if anybody in here got a blessing because of it, amen, thank God for it. But that word was for Pastor, all right? Come on, give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. And bless his name. My brother, sister, you're on your way to better. You're on your way. I know it don't look like it, amen, but God told me to speak into your spirit. You're on your way to something greater. Pray, praise, and trust him through the process. Hallelujah. There may be someone here today, son of man, son of woman, son of boy, son of girl. You're here without Christ in your life. My brother, my sister, let me tell you, you can't make it in this world and in this life without Jesus in your life. You need him. And what we want to do right now is give you an opportunity to invite him into your heart. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But preacher, I still got sin in my life. Trust in Jesus. You shall be saved. But I haven't dotted every I and I haven't crossed every. Trust in the blood of Jesus and you shall be saved. If you're here, my brother, if you're here, my sister, we invite you to come and give your life to Jesus. But then secondly, there's somebody here you're saved, but you know you've gotten off track. Maybe you're a backslider, but I want you to know that, amen, he's married to the backslider. He still loves you, my brother. He still loves you, my sister. You just need to come and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been messing up. Anybody know he's a God of another chance? Hallelujah. Then you ought to come and let him give you another chance. And then last but not least, someone is here. Maybe you're new to this area, but you're looking for a church where you can worship God in spirit and in truth. In these three areas today, as we sing and as we pray, if that's you, my brother, if that's you, my sister, maybe it's a family, just step out on his word. Come on, come forward. Come on, we offer.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother.
We offer
Christ to you,
oh my
sister.
He will give you
brand new life, life abundantly. So
sing it one more time if you're here. Come on, come on. We offer.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister.
He will give you
brand new life. New life abundantly. So
God bless you.
Come on.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.